It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan and my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
How you doing this morning, Sean?
I'm good. Still hunting going on for a little bit longer here, and then it's full-time fishing.
Yeah. You know, we just got in, got uh-huh. fired up and got going. We hadn't even had a chance to say hey to each other.
That's right. You know? So, hey, how you?
Hey. How's your weekend? I mean, how's your hunting been?
Good. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
I mean, limit done?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. So
awesome.
Ready to carry some other people. We may still work it on maybe this next weekend coming, the last weekend. I have to look at the weather forecast, but maybe my 16-year-old, maybe she can work me into the social schedule.
Yeah.
We can go for one last hunt. But yeah, so we're done.
Man, you've had a great season then.
Good season.
Yeah.
Good season, and still birds gobbling out there.
Yeah.
Although it's funny, it's that thing we've talked about. You can go on a given day, and two of them seem the same to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a turkey. I know it might look like it, but and they don't gobble much one day, and then the next day, same similar weather, and they're back to blowing it up. So it's kind of come and go. It's not consistent, but I do have some big gobbling days still. I'm listening to them on the farm.
You can't explain it. You really can't. From one day to the next.
Like, if low pressure and it's cloudy and windy, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But then you get two, like, regular decent days together, and they just, one day, they don't do much. And then the next one, you're like, yeah, they're not going to do much this morning. Holy cow, they're back on.
Yeah. No, I don't understand it. Can't explain it, Sean.
But you hear the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Same thing in my place. No difference.
How's your season been?
I've got one more to kill. I've been with a couple other people.
You've been carrying a lot of folks.
Yeah, yep. Well, I carried a couple people, and they've killed one, and I've killed three. So,
and remember, Mike and I's discussion, when you're going for a double, it's 1-2, shoot. No. It's 1-2-3, shoot.
No.
No, it's one guy shoots one, the next guy shoots after that.
Yes.
Yes. If y'all missed that episode a couple weeks ago, we got an in-depth discussion in the world of, and turkey hunters appreciate this. Everybody else listening is like, what are they talking about? Turkey hunters, if y'all have ever been on a double, it's like, okay, there's two. Now it's going to be 1-2-3, shoot. No, does that mean 1-2, shoot?
No. No, you say, when you get ready, shoot. And I've got my gun up.
Right, and I'll shoot the other one.
And if there's two of them out there, hopefully he shoots one on his side.
Right.
If he's on the left of me, I hope he shoots
shoot him
left
like
one.
You said.
Yeah. And then, I mean, as soon as his trigger goes pow, I mean, I'm pulling the trigger on mine. I'm not waiting for a 1-2 and then waiting. Is he going to do it at 2? Is he going to do it at 3? Or what's he going to do? I don't know. So, no.
That's
soon,
it.
I'm ready to go. Just as soon as he pulls the trigger, I'm pulling. I mean, it's bam, bam. It's just like that.
There you go. That's it. So talk about that with your hunting partner before you head out there. Also, in the conversation, this time of year, I'm going to say that this time, you know, a lot of times I'll say things on the show, and really what I'm doing is I'm telling myself, you know, I'm reinforcing things for myself. I won't tell you with whom, but finally after, I've been talking about trying to get an Osceola for a long time.
Right.
Okay. And what happens is I just don't get around to it, and you know, you got stuff going on, and it's so
I totally understand. Most people do.
And so you got to plan, and you got to plan ahead of time. Although we are going to talk to Casey Shootman from the Management Advantage about some public land Osceola hunting he did. I don't know if he'll get any more specific than the state of Florida with us, but we'll talk about that with him and a couple other things he's been up to with Management Advantage. But I'm this close. Here's how close I am. The person, and I'm not going to say who I'm trying to go with. Okay,
but a guy. Because he'll have 20 more people wanting to go.
Right,
with
him. And he's very popular. So in his policy, so
but
I
you'll
talked,
tell me, won't you?
Yeah, I probably will off there. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and his policy is he gives everybody who has hunted with him before the right of refusal, and then at a certain point this coming month, then there's a date where those that are new, like me, get to call and see what's left over. You know, to get in the system. So I've at least, after all these years of talk about it, moved myself into a point where I've had a conversation with the guide. You know, I've got the idea how it works, how much it costs, all these kind of things. And I'm just waiting on the day I'm allowed to call. and get it on the mix. So I'm closer than I've ever been trying to book an Osceola hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'd be great.
So we'll talk.
I've never killed an Osceola.
You want to go with us? We'll talk during the break.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. If somebody's thinking, I'm talking to myself, but if this is one of these things you want to do and try to get, you're trying to get a slam or, whether you're trying to do it over a lifetime or get it done in a year and you need Osceola, I've learned from looking at this that the best places to go, if you start waiting till Christmas or something to start, they're booked.
Yeah. Yeah. They're booked. It's all over with.
I mean, it's been long since booked.
It is on deer hunts.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're trying to go for this coming up season, 2022, you're late.
Yes.
If you haven't already got something booked, you might find somebody out there that's got something left over or haven't booked, but most people are booked by now.
So,
especially good places.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a weird thing. It's tough to think about. It's still turkey season now here.
Yeah.
But you're looking at 2023. So I'm just saying, if it's also, I think it's easier. I know it's easier. If you're looking to find a hunt for a Rio or a Barium's, it's a lot easier. A lot of places to have those turkeys, a lot of guys, a lot of openings. You still might want to research it early, but I've been toying with this Osceola idea long enough to know that you better get it done now.
Got to go early. Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Words of the wise. As long as you're not trying to book the place I'm booking, good luck to you.
And it's early season for a lot of things. I just put in for my draw for
Kansas.
Deer tag for Kansas.
April 29th, Kansas deer tag.
Yeah, that's right. It's the end of it. You got to do it between now and the 29th.
Right. So, it's past you.
Yeah.
So it was yesterday. And that's the thing you and I have talked about in the past, that people think, okay, I'm going to get fired up about deer hunting in the fall. Well, whether it be for the Western draws, like I've talked about for so long, the places I've gone, like Colorado, and I put in for Utah each year and Arizona and those places, that all happens like February, March, April. Like I'm waiting to hear later in the month of May about if I got drawn for like Colorado. I think it'll be the first one they let you know. And now even for Kansas. So if you are out of state and you're going to hunt Kansas, you got to draw.
That's right.
And you got to draw. And the mule deer thing, I looked at it too. The mule deer, it was like an either or. You couldn't try to draw for both. But yeah, you got to look at those regulations. So Kansas, one of those draw states. And to be frank with you, there's other, like South Dakota is a draw state. I think on mule deer, maybe not on whitetails. But so, if you got big plans to go do things, you got to get ahead of it.
You absolutely do.
It's different than here where you can decide, the night before season, I want to go deer hunting and get a license.
Okay, now let's talk about turkeys again. Tell me about your turkey hunts. Have they been good? Are they coming? Are they quick hunts, middle of the day hunts, afternoon hunts?
I've had out of my four this year, none of them were first thing.
Yeah.
I had no first things, except for when I was on that governor's one-shot hunt and I couldn't pull the trigger because two dang turkeys had their heads in the same place.
Yeah.
Other than that, they've been between 7 and maybe between 6:40, which it's been light. It was getting light. That last one, I mean, it was light at 5:55. So 6:40, 6:40, an hour after light.
I count that as early off the roost.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's an hour.
Within 45 minutes or so.
But I'm talking about the ones where 10 minutes after the turkey flies down, he's flopping in front of you. That's what I call an early hunt.
Yeah.
I killed turkey as late as 9:30.
Yeah.
So mine have all been between like 6:40 and 9:30, 9:45. I didn't jot the exact time down. You've killed turkeys midday this year, hadn't you?
Let me think. No, they've all been in the mornings.
Okay.
Yeah, I think every one of them have.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. I have not heard the amount, even though, like I said, it's been off and on, not heard the middle of the day lonely gobbler goblin like I have in the past. I got to work. I got kids. I'm not there at all points. But, that one that you hear at 11:15 or something like that, that's lonely. I've not had that.
The same way, Sean.
Hens out, too. I've had a mix of most of my hens are gone, or there's places where you travel on our property, there's a hen always there that tells you the nest is close by. So you got hens on nest, too. The fact that there still were a few as of last weekend that were with gobblers, but instead of it being 7, it was 2.
Yeah,
Yep. How about you? Are you still seeing?
Most of mine have been by themselves.
Okay, so they've already gone.
And I see hens by themselves.
Yeah,
but I mean, I need you or Eddie Salter or somebody to come do some calling for me. You get to the point sometimes you think, well, I need to just quit calling. I must sound like a rat scratching over here or something. I don't know. It's just like they don't come to you.
They gobble but don't come?
Yeah, I'll tell you one hunt real quick. I mean, and two hunts just like that this past weekend. I had one I got up on. I mean, first thing in the morning, I owled, he gobbled. I said, I know where he's at, so I'm easing through the woods. I get right up, you know, 125 yards from him, pretty close. I don't normally get that close.
Right.
So I sit down, don't say a word. Now he's gobbling, and I can hear him in the tree. He's drumming, and he's gobbling. And then I just do a light little yip, little curl, you know, tree yip, little cluck, and that's it. Shut up, you know, and he, so after that, you know, he stays in the tree for another 10 minutes, I guess. He's gobbling his head off. Anyway, he flies down towards me. You know?
Figure everything's good.
Man, that's awesome.
This is how it works, right?
He gets on the ground. And I don't say a word, nothing. He knows where I'm at. So I hear him. He 50 to 60, 70 yards, I guess. He's out there and just. And he wouldn't come, so I just did a little cluck. You know, here he gobbles at me. And I said, well, he's coming now for sure.
You know what we're going to do? This is a cliffhanger because the news is up. What happens in the rest of that hunt when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors? See that? It's a tease. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Remember, Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Not only the place where you can get the link for the podcast to this show. I mean, it's one of the many places you can get the link. Which, by the way, thank you. You're listening right now on podcast. Thank you. One of our top podcasts on this radio station. We do 56 hours a week of live local shows. You know, we're a local company, local folks. We're right here at Airport in 65. One of the top producers in the podcast world is you and I, brother.
How about that?
Week in and week out. We appreciate y'all listening to podcasts. Share this podcast with friends and keep it going.
Tell you a story about that. I've got a guy that used to live in Mobile, and he lives in Oklahoma. He listens to our show every day. He called me about a couple weeks ago. He's got 10 acres he wants me to sell. How about that? And because he listens to us every week.
Well, hello in Oklahoma.
Week. Yeah, about that?
And I'll be driving through there.
Paul Nix.
Well, hey, Paul. Yeah. I'm going to be leaving from Springfield, Missouri as part of this giant trip that maybe we'll talk about, my daughter and I are taking. But I will, at one point, I'll be in Springfield, Missouri, and we're driving to Abilene, Texas that one day. And so we'll be going right through there.
How about that?
Go through Texas. I don't know where he is in Texas, but I'm glad to have him on board.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, it's a big state.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Oklahoma out there. So when we went to the news break, when we were rudely interrupted, you had this turkey. He had drummed more than Charlie Watts in the Rolling Stones. He's been drumming like crazy. He's pitched out. He's on the ground. He's firing off. And what's next?
Well, you know, he's on the ground, and he's just driving me crazy because he's, you know, 50 to 70 yards from me behind some bushes and stuff like they always are. And I think any minute he's going to come on in, you know, and I'm just trying to be as patient as possible, not yep, not nothing, you know. Sometimes you need to be super aggressive with them. Sometimes you just one little cluck and a little yep, and that's all you need, and, you know, he'll come. And anyway, he's out there just doing his thing, and I said, well, I'm going to try him one more time. You know, I'm just going to just a little cluck and just a light little chick, 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 you know, just a little. That's it.
Are going good.
Things are great. So I just shut up from that point. Never said another word. And he's still out there 10 minutes doing that. You know, another 10 minutes. He's out there 20 minutes or more, you know.
And this isn't driving a wide open field where he thinks he needs to see you. You said there's bushes. He needs to come look.
Yes. And he's just driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, about that time, he's just a little bit further away, gobbling. I still hear him drumming. A little bit further away, gobbling, drumming, a little bit further away. And then I get my gobbler tube out, and I gobble at him, and he gobbles back at me. And I said, well, maybe he'll turn and come back to me. And a minute later, he's a little farther away. You know?
We've all been there.
So what happened? I don't know. Did he get with hens? I don't know.
That's going to be my
guess.
That's
why I say I need you or Eddie Salter or somebody to come with me and yep for me or something. I don't know. I lose confidence sometimes, you know?
We all do. We all get in a rut. But then the next day you do the same thing and they run you over.
Well, no, the next day. Let me tell you what happened next day. Okay, so the next day I go and there's two of them gobbling. I mean, I stopped where I stopped at. There's two turkeys gobbling. Only two turkeys I can hear. Normally I can hear four or five or six or mm-hmm. eight, you know, even at a distance somewhere
right.
off the property,
yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, two, and they're right here by me. And I go about 30, 40 yards and get, you know, maybe 150 yards from them and just perfect, man. Set up, everything's just absolutely perfect. So they yipping. I mean, they gobbling and, you know, I did a little light. Yeah, I mean, it's done got daylight now. Mm-hmm. I did a little light. Yep, they gobbled back at me, and I said, shut up, you know, mm-hmm. just like you should.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep yipping and, you know,
right.
all that. So at least sometimes maybe that's what you need to do, but I didn't, you know. I did kind of like I did the day before. Anyway, they stayed up in the tree a pretty good while, you know, after daylight, and they just gobbling, and finally, I think I yep one more time at them real light, and they gobble again, and maybe two or three minutes later, they whop, 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 fly down right across the game fence right there that I used to hunt. Flew over in the game fence
that's
that I used to
insult to
hunt.
Injury right there.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you know, I'm yipping at you. You know I'm over here, but you want to go over in the fence over there.
Okay, well, let's turn this around. There's times when I've been on turkeys that won't answer me.
Yeah.
They'll answer crow. They'll answer
everything.
The jet plane flying over everything. They won't answer me, but they come to me.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the flip side of it has been
where. I've had that too.
You know, and I don't know if I was getting on, you know, some days I don't know. Some days I get on them, some days. It just depends on the turkey, right? But I'm doing what I think is beautiful yelp and everything's perfect, and they're not answering me, but. And they're answering everything else, but daggone it, 15 minutes later, they're right in front of me. Whitehead comes cruising through the woods, you know. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, well, that's why we do it, Sean, I guess. We get frustrated with them sometimes. I mean, I've had a good year, so I can't
right.
complain. You've had a good year, we can't complain. But sometimes we don't have a good year, and we have these hunts just
yep.
about every weekend.
Yes.
You know, and it gets frustrating after a while, but that's why we keep going back. We say, I know what to do next time. I know how I'm going to get him next time. And then the next time you go and he fools you again, he says, boy, you can't wait till the next morning. Because now I know where he's living. I know where he's going to go. I'm going to be waiting on him. And he goes the other way.
Well, that's know? What I was going to say. So, but like one of the geniuses of how you are the most patient turkey hunter I know. And patience kills turkeys. You kill a lot of turkeys with
yeah.
that patience. I'm somewhere in between. I got a buddy I hunt with who's way more spastic, I'll call it, and
yeah.
running gun. I'm in between the two. But I think knowing your woods, for me, it kills turkeys sometimes, too. Sometimes it's just, it's like it's from a video, and you sit down, the turkey's going to come straight to you.
Right.
Sometimes I'm on him early, then he shunts up or he goes away. I know my woods well enough that I kill turkeys by getting in front of them. Sometimes,
yes.
too. Repositioning,
yes.
making big loops, and getting in front of them.
That's right.
You know?
You know, if you're able to do that. The problem I have is I've got, like, 40-year-old pine plantations been thinned one time.
Yeah, open.
And it's almost like a beautiful hardwood bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get better now because it's thickening up and got green, and, you
right.
know, you can't see as far. So it helps me a little bit, but it's hard for me to get. That's one reason I have to be so patient. I have to sit
yeah,
there and wait on
can't.
Them. Because if I get up and start moving around, I have messed up my turkey woods.
I'm lucky that I have some geography and undulation in it and creek bottoms to get into.
And some thickets and stuff. Yeah,
I got thickets. Now I burn. I've got a lot of real open areas.
Yeah.
You know, I've got people go, how do you hunt this with all this open? But creek bottoms, getting down, walking, you know, relief in the terrain, getting,
yeah.
you know, behind it. Because, yeah, some places I got that same problem. Like, or I'll say, we can't get to him there because
yeah.
he's going to see us coming a mile away. So we've got to make a huge
loop.
You got
to know your woods.
Yes,
right.
So that's part of it.
Well, tell me this, too. You've done a lot of burning out there.
Yeah, this
year.
So
tell me how the burning has worked for turkeys for you.
Oh, it's just, it works for everything, but it brings, I mean, you can say, okay, there's.
For this year. For
the short-term effect, you burn, the turkeys come in right after it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're coming in eating cooked bugs, you know, getting
yeah.
access to stuff on the ground that usually was covered up by grass or whatever. But the long-term effect is the stuff that's in the second year, to me, gives better cover for poults. So sure. They can still get around on the ground, but there's overhead cover.
Yeah.
Like, you got nesting cover that needs to be thick. But once those poults get out, I mean, they're like quail chicks, too, and I'm managing for both. Having plants grow up and have a canopy, but underneath, if you can look, there's still a way for those little legs to get around so they can get away from predators. So yeah. That's good. And the third year, that's still good on my ground. By fourth year, it starts turning into nesting habitat again, and you're burning another component for, you know, to attract turkeys first and then to help the poults. It's a good
cycle.
Thing. Yeah, it's a cycle. Right after you burn, it's an attractant.
Yeah.
It's a turkey attractant.
It is.
It's going to bring them in. I mean, how many?
It's like you look planting choofers.
That's right. You look at my turkey vest, and you'll see the amount of black soot on my turkey vest.
Yeah.
That'll tell you something about how I hunt. But then that wears off, right? Now turkey season ends, but those plants are growing up.
Yeah.
And also those plants are growing up, giving your deer some nutrition as well right now.
That's right.
And I'm starting to see...
not much in there for them to eat before the burn.
Nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
But then after the burn, you get all that green.
Yep.
And I put pictures up on my Instagram. They'll show you within... I burned this year. It was 5 days later, there's already green growing up in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that fast. It turns around. But yeah, so it gives those poults a place to be. And I tried to have like an area that I consider nesting habitat, although hens sometimes, dang turkey hens sometimes will nest in the dumbest place. I know God made her and she knows better than me on that, but I'm like, why are you nesting there?
Yeah, I can
that's
see
the worst you. Right, that yeah. is the worst job of nesting I've ever yeah. seen. But you want to have
Chuck Sykes told us sometimes hens are just the dumbest nesters
yes.
there is.
You're like, how do you
yeah.
can you do better? Can you do, but you'll have, you know, thicker stuff that's nesting habitat closer to an area that's maybe a year old burn. And then have a fresh burn that, you know, but that's, I do this as somebody who works here a lot at the radio station. So it's not like I'm full time. So I can only do as good as I have a theory of what's perfect. I can get done only what I can get done. And I try my best to get that burning cycle done. I would have loved to burn a lot more this year, but I may try to burn some in the summer. We'll talk about that in later shows, working with some of the people who can hold my hand. I've never done a hot season, growing season burn, but they're very effective to get rid of certain hardwoods, and they bring on different plant communities. It's just new to me. It makes me nervous.
Yeah, so. Most people that burn are January through mid-March or so.
Right, but there's benefits, though. Now, and one of the things you can do is say, right now, even the people that believe in growing season burns are funny about May.
Yeah.
There's just too much to lose. And I've told you before, you know, people say, well, you burn indoor nesting season in April. Long-term, it seems like you get more back with taking that risk. And I'm trying to burn smaller areas too, not 200 acres, trying to burn a 20 or a 30 or a 40 acre block. But in the summertime, now the poults are up and can move, right? You can do burns. It just takes some expertise. We're going to try to get some of the people on the show this summer to talk more about that in those warm season, growing season burns. But even those people that like the growing season burns don't seem to be fans of May, so I'm pretty much done for May. Okay, before we run to the break here, just quick reminder, speaking of May, Amberjack season opened up 1st of May.
1st of May.
That's Monday?
Monday?
Yeah, Monday it opens up and runs through the month.
Yep, goes through June 1st.
All right, which, by the way, May 27th, snapper season opens. So like last year, there's that one weekend where we can do both.
Yep, amberjack and snapper.
Well, we'll talk about that on a future show because this man has caught more amberjack than I've even seen in my life. And he catches big enough amberjack, too. When Bobby and I go with him, we catch one each, and then we try to back away from the rods. We don't want to catch any more because they're so big. Hey, talking turkeys, and we'll talk a little trapping, too. Casey Shootman from the Management Advantage joins us when we come back here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And always good to talk to our buddy Casey Shootman with the Management Advantage. Hey, Casey.
How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering, you know, what miracle bucks will be produced this coming year. You had a heck of a... You had some good deer this year, man. Yeah, it was pretty special talking to you about that buck you killed this year.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because, like, I was on the radio show with you like 2 or 3 days before it happened, and it kind of played out. The weather just ended up being perfect, and I got him killed, and I think I came back on and talked about it later.
You did.
Yeah, you couldn't have scripted that one any better.
Then we moved through that, and if folks got to check out, we talk about it all the time. My favorite show, The Management Advantage, and watch this. I'm watching you the other day, a video that comes out. A world away from the Midwest whitetails, y'all were in Florida hunting Osceolas.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Now, let's talk about this, because you entitled. I'm not gonna make you mad, because you entitled it. This I feel like I'm saying, like stock tips or something on there. Public land Osceola.
Yep.
That's some dangerous territory you're talking about. It's a doable thing.
Yeah, I mean it is, and I've wanted to kill an Osceola forever. That was the only one that I had left for my grand slam, and I just haven't done it. I've been wanting to do it for 10 years, and I just haven't done it because I didn't really want to spend, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 for an outfitted hunt for a turkey. That just sounds absurd to me.
But well, it's what I'm looking at right now. That's kind of, I was telling Mike at the beginning of the show. It's what I'm looking at right now. Don't say that. Well, I don't think she's listening. If my wife is not listening, So that kind of money it's pretty darn steep.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And like I said, it's just I didn't want to spend that. And anyway, It was just a crazy kind of deal. I made friends with a guy on Facebook, and he'd watched the show, and he was a diehard turkey hunter from down there in Florida, and he invited me down to go on this quota hunt. And the quota systems, I mean, I'm not extremely well-versed on them. My buddy, he knows every detail in and out of all of it, and he can fill you in on a lot more. But what I would tell you is there are some really good opportunities in Florida for public land Osceola hunting if you do your homework and do your research. There's general hunting where you can just buy your tag over the counter and go and do that. We actually did that for a couple of days, and there was lots of birds on those. Actually, one of the guys killed a giant turkey. I think he had like 1 5/8 spurs.
Man, gosh,
that's a whopper.
But that was just some... It was in a swamp. It was just a totally different world from where I come from, which was it was neat. I like those kind of experiences anyway.
You don't have moccasins out northwest, do you?
Now they got you got water moccasins in Illinois, don't you? You got those?
I've never seen one.
Yeah.
Although Casey has dual citizenship. He's got Alabama citizenship as well as Illinois, so he knows this area too.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't know if they have more moccasins down there than we have here, Mike. I'd trade the Tom Baby River Swamp for somewhere in Florida for moccasins.
And maybe I'm wrong, but maybe Casey will tell us. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine that went down there this year and hunting some public land, just like what you're talking about, and they had to cross creeks and in sloughs a lot. They said they saw lots of moccasins down there. Alligators, moccasins.
That's what we got here.
Most of those turkeys walk around in water all day anyway.
You
kind of got to get in the swamps with them.
That's what I'm saying. You're in the water all the time. We're here. Yeah, we see them if we go to a creek or something or a log jam or something. But down there, you're walking in the water a lot to get from one place to another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those management areas we went in on like 2 hours before daylight. We knew there was turkeys in the backside of this place, and it had rained like 5 inches the night before. So we weren't really anticipating this. So about 3/4 of the way back there, we had to strip down to our skivvies and carry our boots and pants across the creek to try to get to the turkeys. And then once we got to the birds, they stayed in the trees till 9:30 in the morning because they didn't have anywhere to land on dry ground.
Man. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And well, they pitched out of the trees, and I don't know. County they live it in. They didn't land anywhere near us.
This spoken like a true turkey hunter, y'all. Yeah. Y'all are here. This is the real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looked like
it. Was a tough morning there, but
in your
that
video,
was really the only morning that we didn't like have a chance at actually hunting a turkey.
That's pretty darn good odds. The rest of the time you're on turkey, and in your video, y'all were out of the water. I mean, y'all had to, really. I was like, those are some really cool looking woods y'all were in.
Yeah, so that management area where I filmed the turkey, probably one of the most well-managed turkey habitat areas I've ever seen. And I've been to quite a few places. I mean, they had burns. They had big hardwoods that untouched. They had longleaf pines. Just a great mix of habitat, and they were actually managing it for turkeys. And that was pretty restricted quota hunt. You got to put in for it. You got to, you know, there's a point system. I mean, if you do get drawn, you got to pick a 3-day window to go in there and hunt it. But the amount of success that people have shows, and the amount of success we had. I mean, that morning that we went in, we had a bird right off the roost. I was filming heading 40, 45 yards, and the shooter just couldn't quite get a shot, and the bird walked off. We went into another spot, called up 9 Jakes, didn't want to shoot a Jake, and we backed out, went to another spot, had 2 long beards strutting in it, and we saw another hunter, so we backed out of there, went to a 4th spot, and I think it was around 11 o'clock. We were 91 yards from the truck. I had to step it back off. We were both walking down the road, and we heard a turkey gobble. We stopped, and he gobbled again, and I was like, man, he's not that far, which I was having trouble kind of gauging the distance because the sound doesn't carry as well in those pine plantation and swamp lowland areas as it does up in my house.
Right.
So I thought he was a little farther, but anyway, we walked 20 yards, called one time, and probably 2 minutes later, he walked right up in our lap.
Oh, man.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were y'all already set up?
I could see the truck just plain as day.
Were y'all already set up when you yelped?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just sat down and yelped, and I bet he was inside 100 yards. But he was on the other side of this little berm. It was kind of a thick pine plantation, and he come over that berm and come up in there looking for us. So
That's awesome.
Actually, as we're talking about this, too, because people can multitask, if they want to watch that video, where do they go right now to watch that video?
Go to YouTube, and just type in the Management Advantage, and it'll be the first or second video that pops up in our feed. And it's labeled Osceola Public Land Turkey Hunting. It's a short and sweet video, but it kind of is what it is.
Tell you what, way to market too, because when that comes, because I get the email as well from the Management Advantage as a subscriber to see what's going on, and the work, you know, whenever they talk about the search engine optimization, all that stuff online, if you're looking to target marketing to Sean Sullivan, yeah. Public Land Osceola, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Gotta watch this. And that's what's so the quota hunt thing, and people can research this. And I've toyed around with this for a while, but to know that the general hunting areas still that you went to, we're worth going to. Am I putting words in your mouth, or is that wrong?
No, absolutely. We went to one a little farther south than the first ones we were hunting. I'm not going to name drop names.
No, well, we don't do that here.
Out of courtesy of the guys I was hunting with, but now the place the general public place that we went to, tons of acreage, lots of land to roam. It was managed fairly well too. I mean, there was burns on it. There was a few more hunters to deal with there, but it wasn't out of hand. I mean, it's definitely not as bad as some places I've seen. And there was guys killing turkeys every day on it.
That's great to hear. Yeah.
Those birds were a little more wily, I'll say that. but you're bound to have some of that, especially on the Osceola on public ground. But they're there for sure. You just got to do a little legwork and do a little homework, and you're in them.
You talked about the spurs on one of those turkeys. In all that I've read and listened to and watched about it, generally, do you know this, that Osceola gobblers, they have better spurs than maybe an Eastern in general? Is that true, or is that a myth? Or
typically they are. I think that's, there's some truth to that. Some of the truth to that might just be the fact of where they live, and it's hard for a human to get to some of them sometimes.
So you think they're older?
They have a chance to get a little older. But yeah, but typically, yes, they do have. You see a lot of birds that are up around that inch and a half range down there.
So yeah. Stuff of dreams right there. Hey, I want to transition. We'll have a minute or two here, go to the break, and come back and talk about it. But, you know, you've always brought us such education here on trapping. And a thing that I think is picking up, and you're probably a better gauge of that trapping's picked up from where it was 10 years ago with people doing it for management reasons more than fur, obviously, with no fur prices out there. But what does somebody need to think about for summertime trapping? Because this gets, you know, the discussion, everybody's thinking, wintertime, I'm trapping, or I'm trapping meso predators, you know, during turkey nesting season. But you trap in the summertime.
Absolutely. I think a coyote's probably easier to catch in the summertime. But biggest thing you need to think about is what your goals are. If you're wanting to boost your deer herd and increase your fawn recruitment, Try to get an idea on when your specific location, your farm or wherever your lease, try to figure out when those fawns are dropping. You know, up here at my house, they could be dropping here in the next 3 weeks. But down there, you know, it could be anywhere from, you know, June through September.
Right.
Depending on which part of Alabama you're in. So figure out when the fawns are dropping and try to time your trapping period, you know, during or just prior to those fawns being dropped. And you will have a great impact on your fawn recruitment.
We're coming right back. More of this conversation. Casey Shootman, The Management Advantage. Yeah, go check out that public land Osceola hunt that is so very cool and all the other hunting and management videos on there. But we'll come back a little more about what you need to think about for summertime trapping coyotes, keeping them from eating fawns. They can't eat the fawn if they're riding in the back of your truck. Coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here. And always great to talk to Casey Shootman, The Management Advantage. Like, honest goodness, the right blend, too, of hunting shows like hunting that public land Osceola, and then what I obsessed on is management, yeah. Management ideas. And y'all have done some great projects, too, where you – I love this. Is it the Scratch 80? Which was it Scratch 40 or Scratch 80? That
Scratch 80.
Scratch 80. And I love this because Casey takes on projects like I deal with it's not just, it's not a perfect place that you just keep. He deals with a lot of us that go, okay, we got a chance on a family farm or something like that. It hasn't been managed. I'm coming into this green and it takes some work and you show us how to do it.
Yep. We put all that stuff together, put the management plan and did the work. And I honestly didn't even hunt it single day this past fall.
Well, y'all don't cry for, listen, because you had what other places to hunt?
Well, I mean, we've got some other small places, but, I mean, the habitat just isn't quite there. That deer herd's really not in shape yet, and we're in it for the long haul. I mean, I think it's probably you'll start to see a huge turnaround, you know, years 3 to 5, and then from then on, it'll be just maintenance, and we'll be good to go, but you can't have unrealistic expectations right out of the gate, and we didn't have that. I mean, we did the work. Yeah, there was a couple of mature deer that were coming through there, but we didn't have to hunt it, per se.
Right.
We didn't want to put a lot of pressure on it, so we're looking forward to it this fall. We're going to get some box blinds up, and our habitat will be in a little better shape because we planted a bunch of native warm season grasses, and they need, you know, really 2 to 3 years to get going, so this year they should be 6 to 8 feet tall and holding deer and hiding us, you know, entry and exit routes. And we're looking forward to, we obviously had trail cameras out as well. And we're looking forward to a few deer coming back that were just, you know, a little bit too young, and but looking good. And I think it's on the up and up.
Yeah, I love that series. I want people to watch that too, because it's, you know, the process of okay, this place is not perfect. We're going to try to make them, and how y'all do it. And I think that's fat. And we're going to get you back to talk about, you hit on like two things. I think we could do whole shows on entry and exit from hunting locations. I think it's huge. I know it is huge. Absolutely. For the way you hunt and your success with it. And number two, we can talk about it from, you know, because you hold dual citizenship. If you're looking at the Midwest, you're talking about habitat for bedding and cover. Down here, we got plenty of cover, but how do we get more food, right?
Yep, correct.
So that's part of it. All right, before we run out of time, we were talking about summertime trapping. And I know this is, like you said, it could be as early as June, but through August for folks. But this is the idea, right, that we're not going to eliminate coyotes across the Southeast. It's not, you're not going to, you can't trap out the coyotes on your property and say, okay, I'm finished. So you're doing this precision trapping, right? Explain this.
Yep, you just got to look at the timing of it and trying to figure out, like I said, whenever your fawns are dropping, or, you know, like right now, like we've been doing some trapping in, you know, March, April time frame, trying to figure out when your turkeys are nesting and hatching out. You're just trying to create a void whenever those animals are having their young, you know, because coyotes, they're going to seek out fawns whenever they're, super young. That's like ice cream to them. They want to. They're seeking them out, looking for them, and just trying to create that void where there's a predator-free environment until that animal gets old enough that he can escape or she can escape.
Right, so the coyotes, I mean, you trap them out, leave that void, knowing that coyotes are going to come back in and new ones are going to populate the area, but by then, those fawns have now gotten big enough that they can escape the coyotes.
Correct.
So, and that's, I mean, I think, while we've talked about this a lot on the show, I still think it's lost on some folks. They feel like, okay, well, I trapped hard. Casey, I trapped hard all winter, and now I'm going into fishing mode or whatever, everything's going to be fine, but it's, I mean, it's fun to trap that time of year. The fur is better, but if your management for deer, I mean, it's a summertime deal.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not nearly as fun, right, you know, for the person setting the traps, just because it's
hot,
100 degrees out. But, I mean, if you can find the sign and set on it, I mean, I honestly think a coyote's easier to catch that time of year because they get a little more territorial. They're not covering quite as much ground. Maybe a female's got a den full of pups, and I mean, you set a flat set in there with some land lure or a dirt hole with some land lure and some food down the hole. They're not going to take to it lightly, and they usually dive off right in the trap. So
that's good to know. You've said that several times to us over the time that coyotes are easier to trap in the summertime, and I really never pushed on beyond that. But you're saying it's because smaller home range at that point, more chances to put their feet on a pad, and they react to those scents more.
Yeah, but like I said, they just get a little more territorial. They don't like, you know, you're painting a picture that another coyote or another fox or just another canine in general has entered their zone, basically. And like I said, they're extremely territorial that time of year, so they'll work a set pretty hard. And I also think that just from the heat, the environment, like the human scent dissipates from the ground a little quicker. So your scent maybe goes away a little quicker as well. And I rarely have a coyote walk by a set without getting caught that time of year. Because they don't have a lot of other things on their mind. They're just being lazy. You got to be a little more precise with your scouting and, you know, paying attention to, you know, little nuances and where those coyotes are walking. But if you drop it under their nose where they've already walked, it's game over.
All right,
so they're going to walk the same place again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
All right. This is, yep. So...
Yeah, well, when I'm setting traps, if I find signs, you know, I'm not going to set the trap, you know, 20 or 30 feet away. I'm going to put it right there where he's already walking and make it to where, I mean, if he walks by it, he's going to stop and investigate, and as he's investigating, he's shuffling his feet. And the more times he shuffles his feet, the better chance you got of catching him.
Yeah.
That is for sure. We're going to have you probably midsummer give us another primer on that. But once again, people want to check out, whether it be management or hunting video, where do they go again?
TheManagementAdvantage.com would be our website, or YouTube. Type in The Management Advantage, or Facebook, Instagram as well. Just The Management Advantage.
Always great to talk to you, Casey, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Casey.
All right, coming back to you next week. It'll be fully in May. Amberjack season's in. We're looking at snapper season at the end of the month. The speckled trout are eating the rod tips off. And I'll probably be managing on the farm.
Yeah, and you'll be turkey hunting one more last time.
That's right. Yeah, because next weekend. So, all right. Y'all have a great one. We'll see you next week.